Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. We have a returning guest. And of course, you know, those are my favorite kind of guests because, well, I already know they're a known commodity. They're a known thought leader. And we've already gotten great results from their previous podcast. That's why we have them back. And Craig Hirsch, who's a board certified estate planning attorney, and he runs the Freedom Practice Management Program. We talked about the Freedom Practice last time. I think it was episode 129. So if you haven't heard that, make sure you go back. Or all you really have to do is type in Craig Hirsch on LinkedIn. He's freaking everywhere. But today we're going to go in a different direction, and I'm really excited. Craig, as I had introed last time, he writes for everybody, right? So he's very, very well known, not just in the estate planning community, but also like with wealthmanagement.com. You know, he does do a lot of practice management writing. And the preface of the last podcast was, you know, what could we possibly learn from an estate planning attorney about practice management and financial services? And we learned a lot. And today we're going to talk more about success. As Craig knows, as most of you know, you are the biggest reason why you don't implement ideas and you chase all of the shiny things or chase lots of rabbits. And so what Craig and I are going to talk about today is strategic risk-taking and how you can overcome some of the obstacles and barriers to generate and implement great ideas. So Craig, man, welcome to the show again.
Hey, thank you for having me here again, Matt.
Hey, real quick, you know, so I know that you're going to be going through some rebranding stuff, but would you mind everybody right out in the outset on how they can get in touch with you? And you have a podcast.
Yeah, we have a podcast. We're in fact starting a new one. The podcast that we're rebranding is under 4GameChange.com. That's the number 4, then GameChange.com. And if you go to 4FreedomPractice, again, the number 4, then freedompractice.com, you can find all of our material. We also have a new podcast, Inside Freedom Practice. So look for that coming up soon.
Well, we all love podcasts here, and you can never, well, my wife tells me I listen to too many podcasts, but that's a totally different topic that I'll deal with my therapist.
You can never listen to too many podcasts. I listen to them on every commute ride I have.
Yeah. And you and I both, right? I absolutely love it. I do some windshield time more and more as you know, our business continues to grow. And I just absolutely love, my new one is Stuff You Should Know. Have you heard that podcast?
Oh, I need to hear it. So it's Stuff You Should Know. Good.
Yeah. So basically They do a deep dive into like a micro topic. There was a 2-part series on the Hoover Dam, right?
Wow.
It was fascinating. The two guys who do the podcast are super fun. And you know what? They must have used some of the thinking that we're going to talk about today because, you know, they're generating new ideas all the time, but they have to strategically implement, right? They have to take it to that next level. So let's begin our foundation. Where would you like to begin in this conversation, Craig?
Well, strategic risk taking is a concept that I came up with for my estate planning attorneys in my Freedom Practice program. And what I found is this, a lot of attorneys, and this would speak to financial planners, CPAs, and other folks that listen to your podcast, a lot of them have some great ideas, don't they? And they say, let's do this or let's do that, but somehow they don't get done. And one of the primary problems, one of the first obstacles they encounter is the drag. You know, you'll come up with a vision or a goal, right? Right, Matt? You know, you say, this is something I want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing you think of is what? Why can't you get it done? All the things that stand in your way. It might be hiring an associate or someone else in your firm. It might be doing some advertising. It might be creating your own podcast series. There can be any number of projects that you believe are going to really enhance your practice. But then you think, well, I can't do it because I don't have the time. Or I don't have the energy, or I don't have the materials, or I don't have the money to hire the people or to do the things that I need to do. And then that's the end of it. And that idea just goes by the wayside. And that's really what happens to a lot of us. Our brains just turn off once we encounter the obstacles.
So how do we overcome this? I mean, so what are your techniques to either revisit, to re-energize, or to really follow them all the way through. But actually, before you answer that, do you believe that there are people who are specifically predisposed to going to the negative immediately? Because as you were saying that, I don't do that. Like, so when I come up with an idea, my brain goes in the entire opposite direction of, okay, what are all the great things that can happen? Is that just because I'm crazy or am I?
Well, you know, Matt, I'd be interested. Have you ever taken the Kolbe personality profile? Yeah. Yes. What's your Kolbe?
Well, I'm a quick start, like off the charts.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So those of us who are quick starts tend not to have this problem because our problem is we have so many ideas that we jump from one to the next and they don't get implemented. Mm-hmm. So that's the quick starts problem. But many people in our industries are high fact finder follow throughs. And if you're not familiar with Kolbe, I'd suggest that you go to Kolbe, KOLBE.com, and they have a personality profile that will give you some insight into yourself as well as to those in your firm. I had everybody in my firm take the Kolbe exam, and we have prospects take it as well. But in any event, you know, a lot of people are high fact finders, high follow throughs, and those are the ones that have the most problems. And some people, don't you think, Matt, just come from a negative perspective, don't they?
I do. Not only that, but if financial services professionals directly are so analytical that they analyze themselves out of being successful, I think.
Right. And then the financial services industry also tends to have compliance officers that make your lives difficult.
I have no idea what you're talking about there, Craig. I've never heard that said on a podcast before.
Yeah, I can imagine. So the way that we go about this, and I came up with a process to overcome these obstacles. And what you have to realize is that the obstacles are actually good. The drag that you get is actually good because those are the things that draw you back into the present. Those of us like you and I that are quick starts, that are, we imagine the future, we're visionaries, you know, we're always looking at the future. But the problem is you have to overcome the obstacles that are in the present to obtain that future goal. And that's not such a bad thing because if we're looking at the future goal, what that means is, and we have the current obstacles, those obstacles are actually the cannon fodder. Those are the building blocks. Those are the steps that we can use to obtain that goal. So what I do, what I teach the estate planning attorneys in my freedom practice program is first, let's identify the vision and goal. What is it that you think you need? Then identify all of the drag, all of the obstacles that sit between you and that goal, whatever you can think of. Now, to get past that, usually money, don't you think, Matt, is money a major obstacle for most people when they talk about doing something new?
Absolutely. I mean, especially, you know, business owners, we're always trying to weigh that, you know, cost benefit ROI sort of situation. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we're going to hire somebody new, let's say I'm going to hire a new assistant and she's going to cost me $50,000. I mean, that seems like a big sum. Where's this $50,000 going to come from? So the first thing I have them do, so you have the vision goal, you get the obstacles, then you do a cost analysis. That's my third step, is the cost analysis. And don't think of $50,000 as one chunk of money, because that's not how you pay it out, is it? You're going to pay it out over what, 26 pay periods?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if we divide, let's say, you know, $52,000 by 26 pay periods, what do you have? $2,000 a pay period. So now we think in the next 90 days, how many pay periods do you have? You know, roughly, what are we going to have? 3 months. So you have maybe 12, how many pay periods? 12,
12,
15,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
12 pay periods of 2000 or not even 12 pay periods. You're going to have just a few pay periods there. And my point is in the next 90 days, if I have to lay out, let's say $12,500, which is roughly a quarter of that $50,000 salary, am I going to be able to make that money back because it frees me up to do something more important? So that's a cost analysis thing. And usually the answer is yes, because if I hire somebody to take some clerical function off of me or to take something that I don't like doing off of me, well, now what can I do with my time? What can I use with my abilities to go out in the marketplace and make more money? So if you have the vision and the goal, second step is the drag obstacles. Third step is a cost analysis. And, you know, I also tell my clients or the attorneys in the Freedom Practice program to double the cost analysis. if you think it's going to cost you 50, put down 100. And that way you'll see whether what you're working on will really truly be profitable, because the very next step is risk reward. Okay, if I'm going to spend $100,000 on whatever it is that I'm searching for, that's the risk. What's the reward? Mm-hmm. What could I do with that freed up time that I've just freed up for myself? What could I do with this new capability if I'm paying for some kind of a new capability like a podcast? Where could I distribute it? Where could I market it? You know, the fact that's what your company is all about. You guys can help people gain a new audience, which means more clients. What could you do with that? And that's the fourth step. So do a risk reward analysis on the cost that you came up with. The fifth step is more of a step that will give you some confidence. Now, all of us have done things that have succeeded, right, Matt? What would you say?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here. You and I wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't have past successes.
Right, that, brother. Absolutely.
Right. And what about tell me a little bit about your listeners. Most of them are successful, aren't they?
Yes, actually. An average of $250,000 in income, and 75% of them are upper management. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And the folks that sign up for your program, tell me about their successes. What happens to them once they sign up for the program? What kind of increases do they find?
Well, the biggest thing is it's the depth of relationship with their centers of influence and communicating to their clients in a way that's very palatable and non-invasive.
Right. So that might, you know, bring their revenues up 50%, 100%, wouldn't you say, over some period of time?
I think you're being a little optimistic there. Dude.
Okay.
I don't have those numbers, Craig. That'd be great. So first off, I mean, if we really did a ROI, we know that that within the first 6 months, you'll pay for the entire year of the fee for our podcasting service. But it's that long-term thing, right? So we know that you're probably going to get 2 to 3 clients within the first 9 months. And in financial services with our ideal client, much like your ideal client, right? We know that they're probably going to have $1 million in investable assets. You know, that's going to be 10,000 at 1%. You know, so that's going to be our services are going to compound over time, right? So that one client that you got from the podcast is probably going to pay you $100,000 over the life of that client.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say here is that whenever people do something new, this usually isn't the first thing that they've tried. And the things that they've tried in the past have usually been successful to get them to where they are today. And the problem with the human mind is we tend to over-exaggerate our problems and dangers and obstacles. And we tend to go, whatever, to our successes. We don't tend to really celebrate our successes. You know, they have a saying in Colorado. I love to hike, and we have a little place out in the Breckenridge area. And when my wife and I go hiking in the summertime, one of the things we learned is they said, every now and then turn around because that's where the view is.
Oh.
You know, because you're always looking up at the mountain peak that you're going. You say, oh my goodness, I still have another 2,000 feet to climb or whatever it is. But turn around and look where you are. Look at the view. So what I tell the folks who listen to this strategic risk taking is turn around every now and then, gain some confidence from the past successes that you've had, because chances are what you've already learned about how to do something, how to implement something new, how to take on a new project, you've done it before and you've done it successfully. So think about your past successes. Then the next step would be go into implementation specifics. So that's step number 6. Is what do I need to do in order to get this project done? So let me refresh.
Hold on. Yeah. Actually, before you recap, I'm going to go back to turn around and look at the view, because we're bad at this, Craig. You and I, and entrepreneurs in general, are hard charger. You know, we're always looking forward. Help us with that. Let's unpack that a little bit more. I mean, I think that's a great saying, and I think it's a magnificent analogy. I happen to be a huge hiking fan myself. And surprisingly enough, I do that when I'm hiking, but I don't do that as much in business. How do you help people pause and reflect? Do you have any techniques? I mean, help us with that a little bit more, will you?
Yeah, it's actually quite simple. If you think about, for example, when I started my practice here in Fort Myers, it was me and one legal assistant, and I billed something around and collected somewhere around $300,000 in gross billings, and this was back in 1992 or so, or thereabouts. Today, we're more than 10 times that. Hmm. And it's real easy to take a look back and say, well, I started at 300,000 and now my little boutique firm is grossing more than 3 million. So obviously I've done some things right along the way. Mm-hmm. So it's just a simple matter of looking at your past successes. I like to race in triathlons. I'm not the fastest guy out there, but I've completed 3 Ironmans and 9 half Ironmans in the last several years. And when you're standing on the start line of an Ironman triathlon, you have a 2.4-mile swim ahead of you. Then you have a 112-mile bike ahead of you. And then finally, you cap it all off with a marathon with a 26.2-mile run. And if you look at all those things as these are huge obstacles in front of you, it's going to be mentally very, very difficult to accomplish that goal. But let's say I've already done a half Ironman, which is half those distances. Well, I have the confidence that I can do at least half of it. And I certainly can finish off the rest, can't I, because of all my training and experience, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to look at your past successes and to celebrate them. And from that point, I think taking on new projects, taking on new risks becomes a lot easier, wouldn't you say?
I love there's so much about what you've said here that I have personally implemented, you know, the looking at everything in those steps. In fact, one of our clients is a ultra distance runner and does triathlons just like you do. And one of the big things that he says, and he said it on his podcast, is right now I have to swim, right? He's not thinking about the 10 million mile bike race, the marathon at the end. He's like, I got to get done. And then when he gets done swimming, he's like, hey, I just finished 2.4 miles, right? And then that recharges him to get on that bike and, you know, like, holy crap, I just finished something that most people can't do alone. And now I'm about to do 140 some odd, you know. So we don't do that well, Craig, as business owners. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of successful entrepreneurs do stuff like that, do races and continue to push themselves because they want to know their limits. But at the end of a triathlon, right, you cross the finish line. Right. You get that.
Yeah.
Maybe people cheering. Sometimes you get a medal or you get a certificate. We don't get those in business.
No one's going to pat you on the back. And, you know, if you do a great job for your clients, oftentimes it's just expected, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to celebrate your own victories. You know, my daughter, I just got back from the University of Florida where my middle daughter graduated cum laude from her undergraduate program, and now she's going to go on to physical therapy school. You need a doctorate today to practice physical therapy. So she's heading on to that. But we had a really big celebration for her, you know, a dinner and the family all gathered and we had a great time. So it's important for you to celebrate your successes in business too. You know, we tend to celebrate all these young people's successes, all the milestones that they hit as your young people. We tend to work in middle age becomes a completely different story.
Yeah, totally.
We don't celebrate our successes, and I think we have to.
All right, let's go back and have you let's remind us what was that? We're in seventh step. How many steps did we hit through?
Vision is number one, your goal. Number two is the obstacles. Three is cost analysis. Four is what's the risk reward. This five is past success, and the sixth is implementation specifics. Okay. What are the success criteria that we need to make in order to find this project successful? And, you know, if we go back to the triathlon analogy, like you said, when I'm standing on the dock ready to jump into the water, I'm not thinking about the 112-mile bike. I'm looking at all of the little swim buoys that are out there in the middle of the water, and I'm going to hit one by one. When I'm on my bicycle, I think, in fact, in 10-mile increments. So there's roughly 11 10-mile increments. And as I pass each increment, yeah, that's one down. Okay, I'm at mile 10. Now I have to get to mile 20. I'm not thinking about mile 112. I'm thinking about mile 20. And then the run, the same thing, mile increments. So we have to break our projects down into the specific increments that we need to accomplish in order for that project to be successful. And then finally, the last part of it's probably the most important, and that's who am I going to delegate this project to? Because if I try to do it all myself, it's never going to get done. What do you think about that one, Matt?
That's the most empowering step of all of this, right? I mean, and you know, I've heard a lot of these other steps, but that is the key, in my opinion, of really absolutely killing it, right? When you have those people that you've surrounded yourself with, Craig, who are delegatable, right? Who you trust and you know that they're going to be able to take that on. Man, that is the greatest feeling in business I think I've ever experienced.
Yeah, why should I have to edit all my podcasts and figure out how to put them up on the web if I have Matt to do it for me,
yeah.
Right? So, and that's, again, people get stuck because, I don't want to pay somebody else. Well, but let's do the risk-reward analysis. Mm-hmm. How much time is that going to take you? How much you're going to have to learn in order to do it correctly? How much more success would you have if you delegated that project? And that's where I think a lot of the financial professionals and legal professionals and accounting professionals tend to get bogged down. We get bogged down in the cost and not so much in what the reward would be if we delegated that function to somebody who does it better than us.
Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate here with you, brother, because, you know, I think one of the biggest issues that we as entrepreneurs face is the trust issue. And in the freedom practice, I know you guys talk about this a lot, you know, making sure that you're hiring correctly, you know, you're hiring for not just skill, but personality, you know, training, delegation, all that. So let's go on your experience, because you have obviously been able to be wildly successful in delegating things. What are some of the things that you did personally that our listeners could take away from and say, man, I really learned a lot from Craig on how to let go.
Right. And this is, most of us tend to be rugged individualists. That's how we're trained in school. You know, if you work with somebody to accomplish a test, to finish a test, that's called cheating, right, in school?
Mm-hmm.
So our school system teaches us to be rugged individualists. And I can point to 100 examples. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to do that. But the real success in business and the real success in our practices comes when we delegate the things that we either don't like to do or that we don't do very well. So in my case, for example, I'm a great rainmaker. That's what I do well. And I'm also good at putting the plans together for my clients. I like to sit down with them, talk to them, get the firm engaged, and then get off and running with the plans. But here's something that your listeners might be surprised to hear. I'm an estate planning attorney. I'm board certified in wills, trusts, and estates and have been for a very long time. But I have not personally drafted a trust in over 14 years. I have other people in my office do that. Now, we have systems and processes inside the office, and in fact, that's what Freedom Practice teaches our attorneys, how to do this and the importance of doing it and the way to do it correctly. But my highest and best use is not sitting behind a desk drafting trusts.
Mm-hmm.
My highest and best use is doing things like I'm doing with you right now. My highest and best use is going out and talking to our centers of influence, the trust officers and the financial planners and the CPAs, to get the stream of clients into the practice. My highest and best use is writing books and articles and white papers. So when I do those things, I'm rainmaking. But why should I spend my time drafting trusts? That's something that I could easily hire someone else to do.
We have a lot of financial advisors who are CFPs, right? Certified financial planners. And they do exactly what you're talking about. They don't write the plan. Now, they're familiar with the plan and they might have oversight on the plan. But if that isn't something that you're fiercely passionate about, yes, as entrepreneurs, there's a lot of things that we have to do before we have the opportunity to delegate. But I absolutely love, it's funny that you said, you know, edit the podcast and do all of that stuff. I don't do that, right? I've got a whole team, right? When Kirk and I set up this business, we looked at, and we're always looking at, what is the highest and best use of our time as the co-partners and the CEO and CMO of the company. What should we be doing? And the most liberating thing, and this has happened in some of the offices, and some of our listeners have experienced this too, Craig, is they have that number two who will say, and because her name is Lisa, she's our COO, and she'll say, Matt, you shouldn't be doing that. You know,
stay in your lane,
dude.
Stay in your lane, right?
That is the greatest gift that I've ever been given, is having somebody who will say something like that. I mean, as a business owner, that to me is, I mean, sometimes I argue with her, but you know, she's always right.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you know, that also speaks to Colby, because what a lot of people will find, and when a lot of the attorneys come to my freedom practice system, I suggest that they have everybody in their practice take the Colby. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is they'll find that they've hired a lot of people who have almost the exact same Colby that they do.
Yes.
And that's because we tend to like people who are just like us, so we tend to hire those types of people. The problem with that is when you have everybody that is similar, is that you have holes in your team as to who can do what and who likes to do what. Mm-hmm. So it's very important, speaking back to you, have that person in your business who tells you stay in your lane. Well, if everybody's in the same lane, that's no good.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're hiring people who aren't in your lane.
Well, and the other piece too is, you know, not only hiring people who aren't in your lane, but partnerships. So I have seen so many unsuccessful partnerships in whether it's an ensemble practice or whether it's a partnership practice, where the partners are far and away too much alike. Right. When I actually mm-hmm. partnered with Kirk, one of the reasons why we both agreed, because we both had a poor partnership relationships in the past, was because we're so different. Right. I mean, Kirk is a totally different dude than I am. The way he thinks is totally different. What he does, his skill sets, all of that stuff. I mean, we're like a Venn diagram. Of course, there's a little bit of overlap, but we know where that overlap is. And I love that you have people take the Colby. You know, there are a couple of other tests, just so everybody knows, that I personally endorse as much as the Colby. I love Strength Finders.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great one. So everybody, here's the important piece of what Craig is saying is, you have to know how your people think. And if you're always surrounding with people who are yourself with people who are always going to say yes to you, you will be less successful. You need to have people who challenge your thinking. You need to have people who will be respectful to you, but at the same time, you know, gently push back and say, you know, again, just like Lisa does, and just like you said, Craig, you know, Matt, stay in your lane. I think that's super duper important.
Yeah. And you won't have someone, like you said, your business partner is exactly the opposite of you. And I would say the same thing about my law partner, Michael Hill. His way of thinking is more of a backstage way of thinking, whereas mine's more of a front stage. But the two of us together, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 with us.
Yeah.
1 + 1 equals 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that a lot of advisors out there really need to really look at that multiple, right? And if you have a number 2, right, that's where you get to the 3 also, because your 1 plus their number 2 really does generate a real 3, you know, a quantum increase in productivity. Okay, so let's wrap things up today, if you don't mind, because I've got a couple other things I want to ask you about. So go back through all of these strategic risk-taking points for our listeners, and then I have one other quick question for you.
Okay, so quickly, the strategic risk-taking points are: the first thing you do is identify your vision and goal. What is it that you want to accomplish? The second thing that's naturally going to occur to you is you're going to come up with the obstacles. What are these obstacles to those goals? The third step will be do a cost analysis on those obstacles. The fourth step is a risk reward. What's the potential reward? And if you double the obstacle cost, but you have the potential reward and it still works, then it's something that you should probably go forward with. The next step, the fifth step, is remember your past successes. Let those be a confidence booster to you. The next step is implementation specifics. What has to happen in order for this project to actually occur and be successful? And then the last step is, who can I delegate tasks to that will perform these tasks better than I can? And those are the 7 steps.
Magnificent. Let's talk about how our listeners can take advantage of your thought leadership. Would you mind sharing a couple of things that are going on that they can either tune into or sign up for?
Yeah, thank you. The Freedom Practice Program is geared to boutique estate planning firms. So if you're an estate planning attorney and your practice is maybe a solo practice, or you have, let's say, under 10 partners, we are probably the preeminent practice development program for you. And you can find us on 4 Freedom Practice. That's the number 4, freedompractice.com. we have three levels of development for you. Our initial development is called the Launchpad, and that is a online course that you can take with us. But we highly recommend that you come to our quarterly coaching sessions where you get licenses to use our systems and processes. That's called our Blueprint Program. And then finally, we're going to be introducing what we call the Summit Council, which is the highest level. And with those, you get all sorts of goodies like our sales funnels that we use inside of our websites and some other magnificent tools that are used to really hype up your practice to make you more revenue. So it's forfreedompractice.com.
Now I'm going to add something to this, and this is my most exciting piece of what we're going to be able to do as a marketing company to not only help you, Craig, but also to help our listeners. So many financial services professionals are looking for ways to deepen relationships with existing estate planning attorneys. Send them this podcast. Right? Show your estate planning attorneys that you are invested in their success. And if they don't know about the Freedom Practice or about Craig Hirsch, this is going to make you look like you truly care, which we all know you do. So find an estate planning attorney, forward this podcast to them and say, hey, look, now don't only listen to this one, but also go back and listen to episode 129. You can even send them a link to that. Because, you know, when I heard this podcast, Jennifer Smith, I totally thought of you. You are my favorite estate planning attorney, and I would love for you to have the freedom in your practice that you truly want. So Craig, man, it's always great to have you on. I can't wait to have you back, because next time, just so everybody knows, we're going to be talking a little bit about those funnels that he's talking about with his website, because that's something that we're implementing here at Top Advisor Marketing, and the Freedom Practice is also doing it too. So we're going to have Craig back to brainstorm about the success of nurture sequences and funnels. So Craig, man, thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you, Matt.
Now, if you have not subscribed, I have no idea what you've been doing. So make sure you click that subscribe now button. And again, if you know an estate planning attorney that really does need to hear this or another financial services professional, all you have to do is click the share button. That would be super awesome. But finally, if you wouldn't mind, just take a moment to give us some feedback. You can do that on iTunes by giving us a rating, or if you have an idea of somebody that you think should be on the podcast, you should be on the podcast, or a topic you want Kirk and I to cover, all you have to do is email me at matt@topadvisorm, and the M is for marketing.com. So for everybody at the Freedom Practice, Craig Hirsch, and all of us here at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best-kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.